Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome in on this Friday morning here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Darren, Donick, and Chase without any of the three Darren, Donick, and Chase. I'm Ryan Porth here in the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Joined by Marquise Munson, the executive producer of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Marquise, how are we doing on this lovely Friday morning?
Man, I'm doing good. It's Friday. It's finally Friday.
TGIF.
I mean, exactly, man. This is my favorite time of week. It's Friday. Because then I get to go on the weekend and just relax, watch some old NBA games on Saturday. You know, that's what I do.
You've been a big fan of watching old NBA games.
I have, man. I've been watching a lot. Like, what did I watch yesterday? I watched a little bit before I went to bed of the – I don't know why I keep going back to this game, but it's game one of the NBA Finals between the 76ers and the Los Angeles Lakers, and that was in 2001. That was Allen Iverson's game where he stepped over Tyronn Lue, and I watched that game over last night again. And mind you, Tyronn Lue had a good game in that game. It just gets ignored because, you know, he gets stepped over by Allen Iverson, so –
I remember watching that game back in the day, thinking that the Sixers actually had a shot in the NBA Finals after that shot.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't.
Not really.
I'm still waiting on my 76ers NBA Jam shirt with Eric Snow on it.
I'll come to your defense, though, Ryan, because that Sixers team is dogged for not having a lot of talent outside of Allen Iverson, but they had the Sixth Man of the Year and the Defensive Player of the Year and the Coach of the Year all on that same team. So they weren't a bad team. Dikembe Mutombo was the center. And then Aaron McKee was the Sixth Man of the Year.
I was about to say Aaron McKee was on that team. Eric Snow.
Eric Snow, though, is the legend.
Eric Snow is the punchline. Eric Snow is always going to be the punchline of that team. Oh, well, all in our head, it was Eric Snow, but he also had the best shot blocker in the league to try to combat Shaq.
Look, so I tweeted, this was back when they put the logos up, when every team was putting their logos up. It's like, when you see this logo, what's the first person that comes to mind? And I just jokingly tweeted Eric Snow, and that tweet, like, blew up.
Avalanche.
And people were tweeting me, like, what do you mean? Are you forgetting Allen Iverson? I'm like, oh, this is a joke, man. Eric Snow. I like Eric Snow.
So it was the old Sixers logo before they went back to the current retro, if you want to call it.
Yes.
It was the one with all the different colors.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was like the black background.
And the
with
gold.
The gold. And I was like, yeah, Eric Snow. Mm-hmm. Of course, Eric Snow, the legend. When I look at an old Lakers jersey, I think Eddie Jones. I don't really think Kobe and Shaq.
Nick Van Exel. See, for those
Devin
former,
George.
Former Cincinnati Bearcat, Nick Van Exel.
Hey, Cincinnati Bearcat legend, Nick
yes.
Van Exel.
Yeah, get that right, man. Legend.
I love
no,
seeing
he is
this
a legend.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Cincy, absolutely.
Along with Kenyon Martin, Danny Fortson.
Oh, Danny
Steve
Fortson.
Logan.
Steve Logan has, like, scoring records. I was discussing with somebody the other day because they sent me the list of the 2003 college basketball All-Americans, and it was like, this is such a weak All-American list. It was like, don't talk trash about Steve Logan ever again. You put some respect on that name. That guy was like a two-time All-American with, like, multiple conference scoring records. That guy could get buckets.
He was money.
He was so good.
He's the definition of an elite college basketball player that
just didn't translate.
Did nothing in the pros.
But see, yeah, I'm a fan of those guys. Like, yeah,
I love those guys.
Like, yeah, I love the Kobe Bryants. I love Shaq.
Yeah.
I love the star players of each team. But I love, like, the Derek Fishers and the Devin Georges.
Robert Horry.
The Robert Horry. Like, I love those guys. Like, that was my team.
I would kill to have Robert Horry's career win 7 titles, and then in, like, 4 or 5 of those titles, hit just, like, 1 or 2 big shots. Like, he would have, like, 6 to 8 points in a game, but those would be the 8 biggest points of the game, and that would, like, help seal a title. Like, Robert Horry has, like, 3 of the the most memorable shots in the decade, in the 2000 to 2010.
And
he was
funny,
never a starter.
It's just like, hey, or just top of the key, just right there, just shoot a 3, and then you can go right back on the bench, celebrate your championship.
He's always just right place, right time. I would love to have Robert Horry's luck in his career, because he still made a lot of money off of that and didn't have to carry a team.
So, Marquise, you brought up the NBA Jam shirt that you have with Eric's. No, you're not wearing it right now.
I wore one yesterday.
Okay. All right. That's one of them that you have on.
No,
you
I don't.
Have the Eric Snow Allen Iverson
No,
one?
I'm going to order
oh,
it, though.
Oh, you should.
I'm going to order it.
And it's
sure.
on one of our favorite sites, Homage.
Yes, because I definitely...
Homage has a great variety of different sports
yes,
t-shirts.
They do.
And they have made an Ohio State Jam one with State college basketball players.
Was it who was the Cincinnati one?
Have a Cincinnati Reds one. I have the Cincinnati Reds one. But if they were to make a Cincinnati Bearcats one with Kenyon Martin, Steve Logan, please take my money.
Take all of it.
Take all of it.
Take every cent I've ever owned. Yeah, take the house, man.
Now, you see, yesterday I wore the Gary Payton and Sean Kemp.
I see you wear that one a lot.
I do because I love that one. That's the only one that I have right now because I have to order the Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter one.
Yeah.
I have to order the 76ers one. I have to order the Orlando Magic one with
Shaq and Penny.
With Shaq and Penny on there. So it's a bunch of them that I have to order. So mm-hmm. I'm on like backload right now. I got to order a lot of them.
Don't you have a Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert one?
I don't. I know somebody who does.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you got the COVID-19 tandem.
Yeah.
Right there.
I know a friend who has that. And he wears it proudly. And he wore it right after
that
like,
shirt,
COVID happened.
That shirt after March 12th of 2020 has a totally different meaning than it did before that.
Yeah, here's two guys that probably don't like each other.
Yeah, they don't like each other anymore.
So we have a lot to get to on the show today after
we do. But first, before we start,
yes.
I wish a happy birthday to your
fiance. Yes, thank you.
I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to watch Outer Banks for her. I'm not going to watch Bachelors in Paradise. I'm not doing any. If that's one of them, she can choose one. I'll give her one.
Okay. All right. So
I'll give her one.
You know what I was suckered into this week? Because they don't have new episodes of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette
Which is a great thing for
because of COVID. They haven't been able to film new editions of that. So Claire was going to be The Bachelorette. And yes, I do know this. She was going to be The Bachelorette. And they've had to put off her season because of COVID. So I was suckered into, and I didn't really want to watch it, but she really wanted me to watch it with her. They have a best of Bachelor seasons and go through all the highlights of a Bachelor season over the course of 2 hours and take, you know, some of the best ones. And one of the better ones was Caitlin Bristow, who lives in Nashville with her boo, Jason, who was also on...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
...in the Bachelor series. You're very familiar with those names, Marquise.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
I know all of those.
So I was suckered into watching that earlier this week by Amanda. But I wasn't going to say no. It's her birthday week.
Time out. Were you suckered into watching it, or did you, like, say... Oh, I guess I'll watch it, but deep down you're like, yes, I'm excited.
No,
it's a guilty pleasure for Ryan. I'm sure it was enjoyable because if you're getting it all, if you're getting a whole season in 2 hours, you're cutting through some of the boring stuff in between. So
a lot of
only,
the BS.
You're
yes.
only getting the juicy stuff. So in a way, you can tell us it's boring. You can tell the radio waves and the great people of Nashville that you thought it was boring and that you were suckered into it. But I think deep down inside that there's a little entertainment value in that for you, a little bit,
a smidge. I enjoy the actual like new series that have never been seen before rather than doing that. It was fine. But I said tongue in cheek after that. I said, I'm going to now ask you to sit through game seven of the 1975 World Series between the Reds and the Red Sox, which is on DVD in my man cave.
I sat
through the best of The Bachelorette. And I did not complain one bit, and this is not me complaining. But this weekend, maybe, just maybe, I'll pull out the DVD of the Reds winning the World Series back in 1975 against Boston and might say, hey, spent a couple hours watching the best of The Bachelorette with you earlier this week. Why not the 75 World Series?
She can give you 9 innings. That's not too much to ask.
But she likes baseball, though, right?
Yes.
So this is completely different because you secretly like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and you're watching it and you're saying this, I have to watch this for a couple hours. And then she secretly likes baseball. She may not like the Reds, but she likes baseball.
She actually knows more players on the Reds because of me than her actual team, which is the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I don't even know anybody on the Chicago White Sox.
Even your casual fan would probably have a hard time naming 10 players in the White Sox.
She knows Jose Abreu.
Okay, that's a good one. Lucas Giolito.
Okay, you had. If I say the name, she knows that Giolito's with the White Sox.
Okay, that's fair.
But she can probably name at least a dozen Reds players.
Oh wow. Okay, so you've got
including Amir Garrett, who I'm friends with on PlayStation Plus. Ooh. And she thought that was the weirdest thing that I sent a friend request to Amir Garrett.
Oh, that's the coolest thing. You
yeah, I just wanted to see if he would accept it. I'm not going to play MLB The Show with Amir Garrett, but
hey, Amir Garrett's always going to be on my good list for throwing hands in a baseball game, running into another team's dugout
against an entire team.
He took on an entire team by himself. That is one of the most fearless men on planet Earth.
Yeah,
and is ready
to
throw hands.
Puig do that too?
Yes, in the same season.
Wow.
In the same season, Puig took on the entire city of Pittsburgh, and so did Garrett.
Those are real ones right there. They're the real ones.
I was like,
on the team.
Yeah, where was this energy when you were playing for the Dodgers, man? Come on.
Well, wasn't he a part of a brawl with the Diamondbacks?
Yes, he was.
That was a good brawl.
That's good.
Yasiel Puig brawls are the best brawls, because the one with Cleveland, after he was traded... not with Cleveland. It was this one.
It was
the Pirates brawl that Amir Garrett
took.
He ran
out of the dugout.
Yes.
He was traded during that game, so he had to like leave.
No, he was still in the game.
He was in right
field.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was traded that game, but he didn't leave yet. But he was still ready to throw hands with guys who aren't his teammates anymore.
After he was traded to Cleveland for Trevor Bauer.
Hey, give me that guy. I don't even care if he can hit anymore. Give me that guy. I want that guy on my team. Even if I just have him in the bullpen to chirp and just go out there and throw some hands every now and then.
See, I wish they were wearing the sleeveless jerseys that day.
That would have been pretty...
That would have made the brawl even better if they were wearing the throwback sleeveless jerseys that
the 1968 Ted Kluszewski sleeveless jerseys.
I would have loved it.
Oh, yeah. Derek 100%. Dietrich and his guns out there throwing hands and arms as well.
Suns out, guns out. All right, coming up next, we'll have the... Speaking of baseball, we'll have the latest on Major League Baseball. Do we really have to get into this? Yes, we will, because it's just an ongoing soap opera in sports, and we will continue that discussion coming up next. He's Marquise Munson. Elijah Campbell's behind the glass. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase without Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday. Darren Donick nor Chase, as Elijah said, the show should be called today during this last break.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
It's one of my best works to date.
Well done to you, Elijah.
Yes.
We should have changed the show open to that. Welcome back to Darren Donick nor Chase.
That would have been pretty fun. So
inaccurate.
We're having fun with that, as the guys are having fun with their own different adventures during vacation, including Darren and Chase, who are in Gatlinburg for a boys' weekend. I'd have to think that they might be a little groggy right now.
Yeah. Chase is texting me right now.
Okay, so it's 11.
Chase is good. Chase is, everybody, here's a Chase update. He's fine.
We have heard from Chase.
We have heard from him.
So he's okay.
He's fine.
Okay.
He's alive and well.
So it is 11:15 out in Gatlinburg.
I didn't ask him about his golf yesterday because I already know what it is. It was bad.
I got a text from Chase, though, saying that he hadn't played in a year since the last trip to Gatlinburg and that he was actually better.
Oh, okay.
Which really isn't saying much because was nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, you know how to get, from struggling, struggle just a little bit less. So there you go.
Yeah, if you exclude that detail, he just improved.
Yeah.
At that point, it's an improvement.
I hope he was keeping score, because I would love to know what that score actually was.
I just want to know what time they got done. As far as
that was probably about a 5.5 hour round.
Exactly.
Instead of the normal 4 hour, 15 minutes.
Hey, but once again, I can't talk because I can't play golf. So I'm going to
really?
I'm probably going to Topgolf tomorrow, and it's not going to be good.
Okay.
So.
All right. I'm an avid golfer. I love golfing.
Yeah.
I'm golfing three times next week.
Three times.
Wow. I know.
That's a lot.
It is a lot of golf. Two are wedding related.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Because my vacation starts Thursday, and I'm golfing with the future father-in-law on Thursday, and then all the family members that are in town and want to golf are then golfing on Friday. So back-to-back days with golf.
To my future father-in-law, whoever that may be,
don't golf. Because I don't know.
Don't take Marquise golfing.
Or don't take me golfing, because you're not going to want to marry. You're not going to want me to marry your daughter once you see me golf. I'm just saying.
Duly noted. So, Major League Baseball, the roller coaster ride and the soap opera that is Major League Baseball continues day in and day out. I'm going to put an over-under on this, and I want to see if you guys, I want to see what you guys think. I'm going to put my wedding day as the over-under on a deal getting done. My wedding day is June 27th, next Saturday. Over-under Major League Baseball and the Players Union coming to an agreement for the 2020 season.
Over.
I'm thinking it's a push. Because they could get something done like late next week.
They have to be close, right?
You have to be close at this point. I know MLB just, you know, disapproved of the latest proposal of 70 games, and I understand that. But, like, can they meet in the middle, 65? Like, that's a middle ground, right?
That's only five more. Like, that's not that many more games. When they started all of this crap, they started at the owners wanting a 50-game season and the players wanting, like, 190 games. Like, it was insane the amount of games that the players thought that they could play in a shortened season. And now they're only 10 games apart. 10.
Okay, so let's just meet it. So when I read the proposal yesterday, I thought, and I told Willie this, I think they're going to deny this proposal because of the split revenue that included the playoffs. That's when I thought, like, when I read that part, like the split revenue for the playoffs, I was like, yeah, they'll probably decline that just for that alone. Mm-hmm. But it's just 10 games. Like, let's meet in the middle. 65 is five more games than what you guys proposed us. And then it's five less games than what we asked for. That's right in the middle. If you can't get 65 games out of a proposal and you guys still can't come to an agreement, let's just cancel this season. Because at this point, it's just like, why are we bothering? Like, what are we going to do, 50 games now? Or do we have to go lower? Like, what are we doing?
Right. Well, if it is over June 27th, I would say at that point, the season is over. If you can't strike a deal before July on this thing, after you've been talking for, or not talking to each other for the last 2 months, what are we doing at the end of the day? But you're 10 games, you are 10 games apart. That is as simple as you can put it. The owners want 60, the players want 70. How can Rob Manfred and Tony Clark not look at each other and say, you know what, let's meet in the middle at 65, or let's have a nice round number and go 66?
I just wish we can figure out what the owners want and what the players want, and they could just meet like in the middle on something. Let's find out what were your issues with our last proposal. We'll share our issues with, you know, your proposal that you declined. Let's just come to a middle ground. Like, this is, it's just like, nah, 70 games, nah, we don't want it.
Well, and the players come across as they are changing kind of the way they're thinking of what they truly want. Because at first, you heard a lot of players come out and voice their concerns about health, right? Like, right. Sean Doolittle had an amazing thread, which was totally accurate and relevant to that conversation of, let's not overlook the health. A lot of players came out and tweeted about the health. Then it became 100% prorated contracts, because the players agreed to that in a March 26th agreement that they would get 100% prorated salaries depending on the number of games. And the owners feel like they only agreed to that if fans were going to be in the stands, and if not, then they were going to have to go back to the drawing board. The players don't want to recognize that. Now, the players have been offered 100% prorated salaries for 60 games. And apparently, the fact that the total amount of money that the owners would be spending, even if it's 100% prorated compared to the 80% prorated in an 80-game proposal or 72 or whatever, it comes out to about the same. They want the owners to spend more money on the players and pay the players more money instead of just settling at 60 games at 100% prorated. Like, what is it? Like, first, it was the health concerns. Second, it was 100% prorated. The owners give you 100% prorated, and they told you when. You ask when and where. The owners told you when. July 19th, that is when. And now they're like, well, you're not spending enough money on the players in 60 games. That's not a long enough season to get what we're looking for. What are we doing?
I think we just need to hear from Tony Clark, because he's been quiet. I don't know what these players want, because all they're tweeting about is time and place. Just name the time and place, and we'll be there. Well, the time and place was Monday when NBA had a player in their commissioner. You know, NHL had a player in their commissioner.
And the return to sports.
And the return to sports. But guess what? Yeah. What it was? It was just Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred taking all the shots. And I'm not defending Rob Manfred. I think he's sticking up for the owners, and he's taking the bat for the owners. And then I also feel like, you know, Tony Clark is taking the hit for the players, as he should be. But I have not heard anything from Tony Clark about what these players are looking for. Give me a definite answer on what the players are looking for so we can all figure out. I'm just tired of seeing Jeff Passan's just tweet about these proposals, and they have all this context, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, that seems pretty reasonable. To me, the 60 games, I was like, okay, that's pretty reasonable. I think they would accept that. And guess what?
30 minutes later, the PA comes out with a statement of this isn't
reports
it.
Reports are false.
Right. And what Rob Manfred thought happened in the meeting with Tony Clark earlier this week actually didn't happen.
Exactly. So no more statements. Just come. Let's just tell us, like, this is what the players are looking for. I think I want to know why. The counter proposal was 10 more games. So I assume that MLB's proposal for 60 and the prorated, you know, salaries and everything else was fine. They just wanted to add more games to the schedule. So, okay, they declined that. So let's go down to 65. Go down to 65 and then see what MLB says at that point. And then hopefully, just hopefully, they MLB and Rob Manfred and the owners can just say, okay, 65, that's good. That's only five more games than what we offered you guys to begin with.
And it
seems simple, right?
Right. It does seem simple, but nothing about this process has been simple. At this point, and we've been harping on this for well over a month now, but at this point, why can't they just come to an agreement on this and say, let's do this for the fans? Like, they have taken the baseball fan through the ringer in the last month. And we all know, if they don't have a 2020 season because of economics and not COVID, it is going to be a permanent black eye on that sport that they may not be able to wash away for some time.
Easily. Like, look at a fan like me, for example. I'm someone, I love the Dodgers. Love the Dodgers. I follow the Dodgers their entire season, but I'm one of those MLB fans. Like, you check in the entire season. I'm in and out, you know, because I'm a huge NBA fan. I watch a lot of college football and I watch a lot of NFL. So those things are, and you know, obviously NHL with the Preds and us here. So I keep up with a lot of that, and so I'm already one of those fans that kind of check in and out. So now I'm just like, look, if you're going to start this season in August or September, and all of a sudden I got NBA, I got NHL, I got the NFL starting up, and I got college football, and all of this is going to happen. Mind you, NBA and NHL playoffs around that time that you possibly would start, and you got the start of the college football season and the NFL, I'm going to completely check you out at that point. Like, it's... they missed the golden opportunity. I see all these other sports that started early thriving. UFC, people don't watch a lot of UFC. I know people who said, nah, that's not, UFC's not my sport. You know, it's not my thing. I don't really watch it. All of a sudden, they watch it because it's the only thing that they can watch. Same thing for NASCAR.
Yep.
Like, you see NASCAR is benefiting from this, especially after they removed the flags. Now everybody's watching NASCAR and their ratings are higher. Everybody's benefiting from this who's starting
Major League
early.
Soccer is going to benefit greatly when
Absolutely.
They start their tournament on July 8th.
Absolutely. And that is a fan base that, like, that's a growing fan base. So you get a couple people who never watch soccer, you know, a day in their life, they can climb up there and be a popular sport. But, and they're starting. Like, all these sports are starting up and getting an opportunity to be in the forefront of, hey, we're going to bring sports. We're going to prove that we can do sports during this time. And baseball can't figure it out. And they play outdoors. Like, you would think an outdoor sport would be easier to, you know, relieve all this stuff, and they're the ones that's not starting up, and it's just, it's getting to the point where I'm just like, I'm burned out. Like, if you don't start, at this point, I just don't care.
That's the most embarrassing thing about it, is not only, because Major League Baseball, even though they are the main summer sport, they're still competing with certain things to get the casual fans' attention. Right now, they could have been the only sport watching. We've been watching KBO, for God's sake, the last several weeks. I'm watching Korean baseball.
Yes.
I adopted the Rakuten Monkeys as my favorite Chinese Taipei League baseball team.
My Kia Tigers struggle a little bit, but guess what? They're coming back.
They're coming back.
They missed a huge opportunity not starting their season on July 4th.
We were talking about video games because we were so deprived for sports, and Major League Baseball could have had the entire spotlight to itself. And it's not like they're like facing obstacles other leagues aren't. Other leagues have got their stuff together right now.
We're watching Coach Doug's on weeknights and
look,
not baseball.
We're at the TV right now. Instead of baseball, guess what we're going to be watching on ESPN? Rookie of the Year. That movie's terrible. And that's what we're watching. Instead of watching baseball, we're watching a movie about baseball.
Not a big Henry Rowan Gardner fan.
No, I'm not.
But they could have had the entire slate to themselves, and they're not facing any other obstacle that every league on planet Earth isn't. That's what's so embarrassing, is because every single league, America, Europe, Asia, all continents of this planet have figured something out, and this seems to be the only league whose, I guess, greed and inability to negotiate to any degree has kept them from taking a spotlight and exploiting an advantage that they don't usually have.
In hindsight, they should not have done the March 26th agreement, because they viewed that as their pay cut. The baseball players viewed that as their pay cut. In hindsight, I'm sure the owners and maybe Tony Clark, maybe, I don't know. We don't know because we haven't heard from him. Maybe they're sitting back saying, man, we shouldn't have done that, because now that has caused a complete ruckus for this sport. Whereas if they didn't have that agreement and then in May they go to the drawing board, maybe these teams are in summer/spring training right now getting ready for a July 4th first pitch, but we're not, and It is sad for the sport of baseball.
And it's, but they have to get out of this mentality of they're going to stick around because it's baseball. We're America's sport.
They are not America's pastime anymore.
Yeah, they got to stop. They have that mentality of people are going to stick around because it's baseball, right?
They are so naive to what is going on to their reputation right now.
And then they don't realize that other leagues are now going to thrive because no one's going to be – I'm not going to say no one, because you're still going to have those diehards that are going to still watch it and still enjoy it. But the fans that you could have gotten, they're out.
We'll get David Weathers' perspective on this coming up at 11 a.m. Former Major League Baseball reliever, spent almost two decades playing in Major League Baseball. We'll get his perspective on this coming up at 11. But coming up next, Golic and Wingo this morning had a discussion over Ryan Tannehill and whether or not the Titans would regret giving Ryan Tannehill the big contract. We'll react to what they had to say coming up next on Darren Donick Nor Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Darren Donick and Chase, or is it Nor Chase? Ryan Porth, alongside Marquise Munson and Elijah Campbell this morning here on this Friday in Nashville. And speaking of Nashville, its new starting quarterback going into the 2020 season, Ryan Tannehill, received a four-year extension back in March worth $118 million, including $62 million in fully guaranteed money and $91 million in total guarantees. And this morning on Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, which you can catch 5 to 9 a.m. every weekday on both 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, they had their segment called Love It or Shove It, which they do every Friday. And one of the questions was about Ryan Tannehill and whether or not the Titans would regret giving him that contract.
Love it or shove it, it's Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. Back to the NFL, the Titans will regret signing Ryan Tannehill to a four-year, $118 million contract with 91 guaranteed. Love it or shove it.
I think I'm going to love this one. I mean, he's a guy that basically they didn't have him doing anything, especially in the postseason, except handing the ball off. I mean, he's not counted on to be the guy to say, let's put the teams on his shoulders and carry him. They do it in other ways, which is fine. They've proven they can still win that way, but that's a heck of a lot of money for that, for what you're expecting from him.
I'm going to shove this one. I think that getting him in that spot, because relative to what your other options were, people talked about them in the Tom Brady sweepstakes potentially in all of this, however real that was or wasn't. I think that Ryan Tannehill is certainly going to come back down to earth some. I think he had more of a impact on their offense last year that was great in play action, that threw more early and downs to help that run game that it probably gets credit for. So I'll shove this. I think they're going to end up not, you know, I don't think it's going to be celebrated. It's not going to be the greatest deal the Titans have ever done, but regret, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to regret it, and I think they'll find a way out of it if it doesn't go very quickly. I think you had to do it. I mean, at some point, you have to respond. Your team needs to see, hey, you're going to take care of the players that were there for you, and he certainly changed that offense in the regular season. Not as much in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a Jimmy Garoppolo drop-off in the postseason.
Wow.
Just call it what it is.
Well, they just didn't let him throw.
That was Trey Wingo, Mike Golic, and Mike Golic Jr. earlier this morning on Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio. Love it or shove it, the Titans will regret that contract. I'll ask you, Marquise, that question. Will the Titans regret giving Ryan Tannehill the four-year extension worth close to or over $90 million in total guarantees?
I don't regret it. I don't think they should regret it at all. I think, personally, when I look at what Ryan Tannehill was able to do last season in the regular season, and, I mean, we harp on what he did in the postseason, and I can understand that. But, and you know, he did. Derrick Henry was, you know, Derrick Henry played well. So, he didn't have to do much. And look, when you look at the quarterback market in free agency, if you weren't going to get Tom Brady, I don't buy teams that put all their eggs in one basket and it leaves you with nothing. NBA does that a lot in free agency, to where they put all their eggs in the LeBron James basket or whoever's the hot free agent at that time, and then all of a sudden you lose out on other free agents that are out there. So I'm kind of glad that the Titans didn't put their eggs all in the Tom Brady, you know, basket, because all of a sudden now – you know, he went to the Bucks, and then you're not left with nothing. You get Ryan Tannehill back. So I look at the quarterback market. Were you going to get Teddy Bridgewater? You know, or are you going to sign Cam Newton, who's still not with a job yet? So the quarterback market, yeah.
Yeah, so with Ryan Tannehill, for me, the four-year contract that the Titans gave him, close, or I should say over $90 million in guaranteed money, I have to think the Titans will not regret this, and here's why. Because the biggest reason, and Elijah and I spoke on this during the rundown last hour, of the fact that when Ryan Tannehill was at his best last year in a Titans uniform, Derrick Henry was also at his best. And I am convinced that Derrick Henry is not going to just fall off a cliff starting in 2020. I think Derrick Henry has a good 3 years in him before he might experience that fall off, because he doesn't have a lot of NFL tread on the tires. Even though the Titans used him a lot last season, it's not like he has four consecutive seasons of over 300 carries. He doesn't have a lot of tread on the NFL tires. He was used a lot at Alabama when he played, but it's not like he had an abundance of tread on those tires either. It's when he's at his best, you use him, and you use him over and over again, and then he's dominant when he's being used. If Derrick Henry is an elite running back for the next 3 years, the Titans will not regret this with Ryan Tannehill, because those two were completely in sync last season. Derrick Henry was as much... He deserves as much credit for Ryan Tannehill's success as Ryan Tannehill deserves credit for Derrick Henry's success.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention the fact that when you had an offensive line who was still trying to gel together, having a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill on your roster definitely helped, especially with his escapability. And this is not to mention we're going to have Jonnu Smith back next year, who's going to probably be, as Jeremy Fowler said, a top 10 you know, tight end in the league. And same thing for A.J. Brown, who can easily be top 10 receiver in the league as well. So you're surrounding Ryan Tannehill with two offensive weapons and a tight end and a wide receiver. And that's not to mention the fact that you got a guy like Derrick Henry. Now, we'll see what they do with the backup running back position, if they're going to be able to get a little bit more production off of that to be able to help Derrick Henry and be able to balance him a little bit more so he doesn't have those trends on those tires. But you know, I think by looking at this offense and the way it's set up right now, and especially Arthur Smith, who did good last year, had some hit and some misses last year on offense, a couple, you know, games that you kind of question a little bit, but mostly hits. And when you look at this offense, I think they're building around what Ryan Tannehill is going to be able to do at quarterback and what Derrick Henry can do at running back. And once they, I think they need to probably add another wide receiver weapon, but outside of that, I think this offense is fine. That's why I say, you know, when you look at the quarterback market, I think Ryan Tannehill, outside of Tom Brady, was probably the best prospect in free agency. You know, and that's even including Teddy Bridgewater, who clearly deserved a starting spot after what he did with the Saints when Drew Brees was hurt. You know, and then when you also look at Cam Newton, now Cam Newton's still looking for a job right now. And, you know, who's to say he's going to have one this year or not? But, you know, I think Tannehill proved himself last year to easily be a top prospect when it came to free agency at that quarterback position. And, you know, that's why they gave him that contract, because if he would have left, who else would you have got?
So when it comes to love it or shove it, the Titans will regret giving that contract to Ryan Tannehill. 4 years, $91 million guaranteed, $118 million total. We both shove it. We're saying the Titans are not going to regret that. Elijah, what do you say?
I'll shove it as well. Just because of the value of the quarterback, you have to have the quarterback position solidified on your roster. It's the most important position in the entire sport, and sometimes you have to overpay for it. I mean, people have criticized, you know, the Lions for spending all that money on Matthew Stafford, even though without Matthew Stafford, that's one of the worst teams in football. You saw what happened to them when Stafford got hurt, even though they don't have a good team around Matthew Stafford. He's the quintessential example of, if you're going to have anything, you at least need to have a quarterback in place, or else it's going to be a real sideshow what your team's going to be. So, I mean, I think the Titans, even though it was a heavy price tag, it's definitely worth it just because of the value of the quarterback position. And especially if you get a guy who fits this team like a glove, a run-oriented offense who, if you're going to throw the ball, they throw the ball like on like what Golic Jr. said, throwing it on first down, setting up life to make it easier for the running game to convert second, third, and shorts, while also being able to open up defenses and go over the top of them when they're loading the box with eight men preparing for Derrick Henry. It's good to have one of the best play-action deep ball passers in the NFL right now. It's just a perfect fit for this team, and if it takes care of the quarterback position, which is something that we on at this station and in this market have discussed if they have that or not with Marcus Mariota for the last 3 or 4 years, if you can solidify that position and not have to worry about it, it's definitely more than worth the money that they coughed up for him.
I think this question continuously comes up is because we continue to think about, and the same thing for the backup quarterback conversation of, you know, Ryan Tannehill's injury history, and we keep bringing that up. Even though he stayed healthy all of last year, you know, we don't know what's going to happen this year as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why these questions with Tannehill keep coming up. You know, should they have gave him that contract? Should the Titans be focused on getting a backup quarterback that's a veteran? And those conversations come up. You don't hear these conversations with, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, even though the way Lamar Jackson plays is probably a little bit more injury prone than how Ryan Tannehill plays. But I think we have to get out of that mindset that Tannehill is injury prone and he's probably going to get hurt, because like he hasn't got hurt. He didn't get hurt last year. And I understand he has a history of that, but you know, we have to kind of get out of that mindset when it comes to these decisions, like, you know, having Logan Woodside as the backup quarterback and then signing him to a deal like this.
I think you do have to be prepared for that. I think you do. And we'll continue this conversation on the other side. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.